Good evening. When preparing for tonight's lesson, I started thinking to myself, when are some times in our everyday lives do we think of when the Bible gets misinterpreted? Well, if you pay attention to the secular media every so often, the Bible will come up occasionally, and often there is something that is not exactly explained or particularly understood the way that it's intended. Unfortunately, I think there is certain scriptures that come across that way that are maybe not understood the proper way, even to Christians. I think one of those happens to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy 6, he mentions how the love of money is the root of all evil. And I think a lot of people have gotten the impression that that money is the root of all evil and is the root of all evil in general. I know one of the things we've talked about in the Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace class that we started over the last couple of weekends is that money itself is not, there is nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's amoral. There's nothing, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just right, it's there, it's neutral. And I think amoral is a good way to describe it because there truly is not really anything good or bad about it, just how we use it. Do we use the money to contribute at church, or do we use the money to go gambling over the weekend? Just depending on how we use it, it's something that can be used for the greater good or the greater bad, depending on our perspective. Now, I know there are certain things that we've talked about so far in the first couple of weeks of the Financial Peace class that I found very interesting. One of the things Dave has touched on in the lesson last week was that a lot of people will say, well, I just need to make more money and that'll take care of all my problems. And his response to that was, well, stupid doesn't cure stupid. And if you make bad decisions with little money, you're going to make bad decisions with more money too. I mean, for example, statistics show that like 70% of lottery winners are bankrupt within 7 years. Also, you can see professional athletes who are making millions of dollars every year, they don't know how to spend it. I mean, over the time of like Mike Tyson's boxing career, he probably grossed a little over $400 million. But in 2003, he ended up filing for bankruptcy because he had debt of $27 million. It doesn't add up thinking like money doesn't buy, you can't buy a good decision making in it. And it's very unfortunate because if we do pay attention to what the Bible says and look at some of the lessons, it is something that we can definitely learn from because the Bible touches on money many times. I saw a biblical thesaurus recently that said money is referenced in the Bible 322 times. And if you look at it that way, it makes you think, if it was referenced just a little bit, that would kind of indicate a significant form of importance. But 322 times makes me think that's something that's touched on so many times with such importance that it's something that God really wanted us to pay attention to. Well, regardless of how money is spent or how money is earned or how it's utilized in our days, let's take a look at some of the scriptures and see what the Bible says about it. So, if we could turn to the first scripture I wanted to look at would be Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 16. Of course, this is the story of the rich young ruler. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now, I think something very interesting to touch on is that I take it from the scripture that God's not saying regardless of what we have, whether we have a little, whether we have a lot, go sell everything and follow the Lord. Obviously, we want to follow the Lord regardless of whatever financial earnings we may have. However, I think the part that really makes the difference in this scripture being that the rich young ruler had his heart was in his possessions. And a lot of it depends on where is our heart. Is our whether we make a lot of money every year doesn't mean necessarily that someone's is greedy, or whether someone makes very little money every year doesn't mean that they're necessarily the type of person who is going to be spending their money wisely. A lot of it having to do with perspective and where our heart is, because I think any of us have known people that may have known someone who was relatively wealthy who was probably the most generous giving people they know, because they would want to give money to help people, help the church, and be able to do things for good. However, we've also known people that may not have a lot of money, that may have been especially greedy and just don't really have the proper perspective about what good can be done with it when they do have it. And I think a lot of that has to do with just upbringing. A lot of it has to do with just the way society teaches us to think about money. But I think a large part of it just has to be, what are some of the examples that we are shown as we are growing up? What kind of examples do we see from parents or from siblings? And just, I think the examples that we have from a lot of people really plays a major part in our spending habits. All right. Another scripture I wanted to take a look at this evening is a few chapters over in Matthew chapter 25. Starting in verse 14. Pardon me while I get there, the iPad 2 is not what it used to be. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talents from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think this scripture, obviously being the parable of the talents, is something that can be used in various different interpretations and various lessons that we have here when we're at worship. I think this is one that definitely can be taken as one of on how we utilize our spending as well. In that, like I talked about earlier, are we taking the money that we make to maybe go to sporting events? Are we going to just go to the movies? And at the end of the month, when it comes time to give to the church, it was like, oh, I'm all out. I guess maybe I'll give to God next month. And I think that can be very unfortunate, because I think when we lay aside our first fruits and are able to use the money that we make, and where it's always set aside every week to give to the Lord, our perspective is, since that is the most important money to us, that's what we've laid aside, because it is something that's going to a much more important cause than that of, say, going for your morning coffee. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting your morning coffee every day. There's always time to do that, if that's something that everyone enjoys. However, it all comes about perspective. And where is your heart when it comes to this? Is your heart more into your morning coffee, or is it into the contribution at church on Sunday? I think that's something that a large part of both of these scriptures have really hit on, is that our heart. I think our heart is it's the most delicate place, because nobody knows what's going on in our heart except us and God. I think you could see people who could be giving lots of money on a weekly basis, but if they're doing it to be showy, or if they're doing it just because it makes them feel like they're important to give large amounts, they're really missing the point, because I think this is something that when we're giving, it's money that's going to the work of the church. And there's really no greater offering that we could give than to give to the work of the church. Because I think when we do lay aside the proper funds on a weekly basis, we know that we have our heart in the right place. When we have that set aside first, without letting other things get in the way. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with utilizing funds to do things that are fun, whether you want to go to the movies or go get your morning coffee or anything like that. But when it comes down to it, where is your heart? And I think our heart is such a delicate place, because, like I said a moment ago, only God and you know what your heart is. And sometimes I think even God may know our hearts better than we know it ourselves. Because, and I say that in that, sometimes I think we may do things financially thinking that we're doing it for the right reasons, whereas maybe when it comes down to it, it may be something that we're just doing just for the sake of appearances. And hopefully that's not the case with anyone here tonight, but I know that this is something that can be done very easily and very flippantly without being thought about. So I think one of the main things I just wanted to leave for tonight is, when you have, whether you make a little, whether you make a lot, whether you make something in between, how you use it and how your heart directs where your money goes is so important, because if your heart is right with the Lord, those funds can be used in a much better way than if we're just trying to leave it to chance. Because when we leave it to chance, or we go by our own selfish desires, there's so much wasted opportunity that can be done for good. And I think when we pray about it, and when we look at something in terms of like what God wants from us, I think we can be in such a better place, not only in our spiritual lives, but in our physical lives as well. So just before I close, I did want to say that I think that, like I said when I started, money is something that's not necessarily good. It's not necessarily something that's bad. It depends on how we use it. And I think if we pray about it and we think about it in the most sincere manner, God will lead us and help us spend it in the right direction. And I think that when we do put God's priorities above those of our own, we're headed in the right direction. One that's going to be not only looking out for the work of the church, but for working out for people who may be outside of the faith right now. Somebody who may be looking for that hole, that emptiness that they have in their life. And I think when we can give money that can assist people who can be in that kind of state of mind also, we're doing so much more with it than if we spend our money flippantly. So to close, I just wanted to say, when we spend our money, let's just think about it in terms of, what are we doing? Where's our heart when we're doing it? Are we thinking more with God? Are we thinking more of our own selfish desires? So hopefully when we are spending it, we are thinking about God first. Thank you.